Good morning, 738 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Here in studio with me, I've got Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. Can we agree now that we're, let's see, 1, 2, 3, we're 10 days post-kickball. Have we both healed completely?
Yes, I'm completely healed. I'm ready for next year.
Despite the high kick photo that I saw of you, everything's okay?
Yeah, no, I didn't pull anything on that.
That was lucky, man. I would have been hurting after that one. All right. So we had some pretty serious stuff happen recently. We had a shooting at Oakwood Terrace, a death, I think, as a result of that shooting. And this is, you know, it's a location where we've had incidents in the past. You and I have even talked about their efforts to try to reform and to, you know, get better cameras and to get better security in place. But what do we know about this particular incident?
Well, this particular one occurred inside an apartment, so I'm okay. Not sure what the cameras would have done.
Fair enough.
And to prevent that sort of thing. It's like the domestic violence crimes that we have, or domestic violence homicides that we have. We don't have enough manpower to sit in everyone's driveway and to do that. But this particular case, we're still investigating. Because it happened in an apartment, like I said, we have to identify and question whoever was in the apartment. We have reason to believe that it was four or more people inside the apartment at the time. And so really, we're keeping an open mind on this. Obviously, it's very tragic. We are investigating it. We've had a team of investigators over the past week trying to talk to as many people as we can. We have identified and talked to some, but we still have some more because we want to make sure we have a complete look at what took place. There were some injuries to some other people involved in the the incident before the shooting.
So scuffle injuries, not gunshot wounds.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, okay. there was a disturbance. So we're looking at the details of that disturbance and what likely led to the shooting itself. So again, we're investigating it, and then we'll let people know exactly what we determine.
And by the way, I really appreciate the kind of the corrective note that maybe we shouldn't think of this as one of those Oakwood Terrace kind of incidents, but just a domestic incident that happened to be at Oakwood Terrace. And so, and that's an important reminder that, that just because you put in security doesn't solve all your problems of people, what they do inside their homes, right?
Right. No, I mean, I'm a fan of additional security. I'm a fan of lighting and surveillance and many locations. But again, I just want to be clear. There are some things that I'm not sure that anyone can prevent except the people that are involved in.
I know this is something that you've been tracking for a long time, but has Oakwood Terrace improved in that regard? Are you in a position to say? It seemed like it was in the news quite a bit, and there was a lot of conversation about even lawsuits against them for, kind of neglecting security measures at one time. But I haven't followed up. It's my own fault. I haven't done enough diligence to follow up. From your perception, have things gotten better, or can you even comment on that?
Well, I can tell you just from a perception in law enforcement that it depends on what time period you're talking about. There were decades ago, I think, that Oakwood Terrace is a lot better than what it used to be. But I can tell
back
you
back when it was the Arms? What was
Truman
the
Arms.
Truman
yeah,
Arms,
back,
that's right.
Back,
okay.
Back then. So, yeah, there were some things that took place back then that obviously needed to be remedied, and there were some actions that were taken. Over the years, there has been a number of different things. They put some video cameras out there, and that has helped. They put a gate out front, everyone had to check in before you walked in, so they didn't have the people that were intending to do ill going in there. So again, where they're at right now, I don't know.
That's okay.
And I wouldn't really talk about the surveillance, the security systems that they have in place. I can simply tell you that it's not as bad as it was in the 80s, but that does not mean that there's not room for improvement. I would always talk to people about looking, constantly evaluating their own structure, their own footprint, and try to determine ways in which they can make the location safer for their employees, for the people that live there. And I'm talking about businesses and apartment complexes. So again, there's always room for improvement, if you ask me.
And I know a lot of times in cases like this, we talk about just when there's shootings, we talk about whether you are or are not getting good cooperation. Are your deputies getting cooperation from the people who were in the apartment at the time? Do you know even?
Yeah, no, I would say we were getting cooperation from the ones that we've spoken to.
Great.
Now, again, there are some that left the apartment before we got there. Obviously, there's a shooting, and they had left. Again, we could use some more. We could always use some more.
Sure.
We believe there are some people that do have some information that can talk to us if they're so inclined. But for the most part, the people that we have talked to, we have gotten a statement from.
Very good. One of the other cases we had was a McDonald's where an employee is alleged to have stolen, what, like $100,000 or something. That happened recently, right?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, people talk a lot about employee theft or internal theft because there's so much of that going on at any business that you talk about. But rarely does it exceed $100,000. And in this case, it was almost $200,000.
Oh, wow.
But this was a McDonald's manager over the course of from September 2021 through June of 2022 that he was taking money from his employer. He was dealing with some of the deposits, and he was not depositing all the money that he should have been. So he's been charged with the grand theft, and he has been held on a $100,000 bond, or at least he was. I'm not sure if he's still incarcerated or not, awaiting trial, but that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's a lot of money going through, you know, very successful restaurant like a McDonald's franchise.
What do you do in a case like that where the allegations that somebody stole nearly $200,000, you put them on a $100,000 bond, which takes 10% to get a bond agent if they're willing to put it up, and you got to assume if he did what he's alleged to have done, you know, he's got $10,000 out of the almost $200,000 that he stole. He's literally using the proceeds to bond out. I mean, do you freeze assets? What do you do at that point, or is there anything you can do?
Well, we can freeze assets, but it's a lot not likely in this case here. We have that discussion a lot in regards to our narcotics investigations.
Yeah.
Because we know that, I mean, we may seize $50,000 from a drug dealer, which means they've got a lot more than that, and, you know, up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we have a bond schedule. People don't realize, but when we charge somebody, we take a look at this schedule, and it's the range would be, you know, for example, $50,000 to $75,000 bond. That's all that we can put on them. So, but we understand that they probably have 10% of that easily.
Yeah.
Property that they can get a bondsman.
Because I always get that feeling that these drug arrests in particular, the trafficking arrests, and I see the bond and I'm like, and then the story is that they bonded out immediately. I'm like, well, I mean, of course. You know, that's the whole point. They've got the money to do that, right?
Yeah, that's even some of the ones that we arrest for homicide. I mean, sometimes even $1 million bond, $100,000 in property to a bondsman can get them out. So, yeah, that's not necessarily something that I can, can control.
Right.
We have conversations occasionally with the chief judge. And you know, well, you want to be fair about it. You know, everyone has to have an opportunity for a reasonable bond, and I understand that. And really, the bond range kind of makes it easier for law enforcement. We know that we can give the individual, but this bond versus that bond, and but we do understand, and it is kind of concerning to us that we arrest someone and put them under a bond. But think about it. All they're really going to jail for, if they don't bond out right away, is to get the first appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get arrested today, they'll go to first appearance tomorrow. If it's after midnight, they'll go the following day. And sometimes it's through video. So a judge will evaluate that bond the very next morning or the first opportunity. So there's a lot of safeguards in there for you know, excessive bond or have an individual that may be able to make bond or. You know, the judge decides that they need to go and get out.
And you, having run the jail, you know, sort of indirectly, you weren't the jail director, but you're the assistant administrator in the county over that department. You well know the challenges on the other side, you know, of not having overcrowding and managing the population, you know, all of that stuff that factors in. I did want to ask you kind of a follow-up on, we had this concern about fights at the high school football games, and then games were moved to Saturday mornings, one game was moved out to Tate, out of the city into the county. Has there been anything since then, any hiccups, any problems, any challenges or ongoing concerns?
No, the game that was rescheduled for the Saturday morning went obviously without incident, and we have had many conversations with the school district about what we can do and can't do for additional security. We feel comfortable. We have a pretty good plan in place, and we've been pretty vocal about the fact that if you're a high school student or in your 20s and you plan to cause trouble at a ballpark, we're going to, or at a ball field or at a school, then we're going to put you in jail. Yeah, we're not going to tolerate that, because we cannot have these large fights and scuffles and individuals getting hurt, whether it's at the field, on the track, in the parking lot. So we're cognizant of that, and again, we made a concerted effort to make sure that we are monitoring for that sort of a problem.
The last thing that I wanted to ask you about is, I know you're well aware that the superintendent has come under criticism for the question that was given to students about a girl sharing a photo of herself naked as a minor with her boyfriend. They break up. He spreads it around to other people. She gets bullied, harassed, leaves school, eventually winds up going to a different school where the bullying continues, and then winds up taking her own life. In the prompt, which is all too much like the kind of thing that does happen in real life, sadly, one of the things when I was reading over the question is the stuff that was not included in the original post was the follow-on explanation that sending things like this you don't own anymore, warning people don't send stuff you wouldn't want your parents to see, don't sex nude photos, that this can be a crime. And if you share this, this can be a crime. And if you do get sent one, share it with the authorities to make sure that the right people are punished. And I, you know, I would, not to put you in any position of assessing the appropriateness of this question or not, but I just wanted you to comment a little bit about this is stuff that really does happen, and it really is bad behavior and criminal behavior many times in the schools, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you again, that's the school district decides what they do. I obviously, as a parent, have an opinion, and I can tell you that we concern ourselves with what the parents know. We educate the parents so that they can talk to their children, and you know, that's just my preference. But I can tell you that many of the things that are discussed in that do happen. Mm-hmm. Those are things that we constantly warn parents about. You know, talk to your children about this. Talk to your children about this type of a scenario. And then when we do have, like at our Blazer Academy, we spend a lot of time talking about you know, reputations and about some things that are legal and not legal. We don't go over as many scenarios, scenario based like this one. But so I can tell you that these things that these kids are seeing nowadays are real, and they can be criminal. And again, then there's that also that your photo is on the internet forever, and you almost can never get rid of that.
Photos so are forever.
you got to be cautious with that sort of thing. But from the sheriff's office perspective, we spend a lot of time educating parents on what to tell their kids and teach their kids, and then the parents can determine what content they give their parents. Here's the thing: the kids are getting younger and younger. They're computer savvy, they're phone savvy, and they can do a lot of things that we never even thought of. And to assume that they're getting that from their peers is probably a pretty good assumption, because we're really in this to protect our children. And at the sheriff's office, we're going to do whatever we can to make sure our children are protected.
Absolutely. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep our community safe, sir. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.